Well, good morning to everybody. Yes, he'll pray for my foot. But it's great to see you. Great to have everyone out. If you're visiting today, you are our honored guests. We're very grateful that you would join us here at Manhattanville College. We're a very diverse church. Last count, we had people from 12 different countries here and multiple languages. We do Spanish translation if you need that. And we just have a lot of fun. Now, I have a picture, maybe. I have a picture. There we go. Have you ever felt that your life is like that? The guy got pulled over. This is in New Hampshire. He actually got pulled over. I think the laws are fuzzy on how much you can carry on your car. They did ticket him because people do get killed every year by debris falling off of cars. But I actually kind of credit the guy for his creativity. But, you know, obviously the guy needs a little bit of help. It's an overloaded situation. And I think a lot of us feel, as we go through life's struggles and trials, and Jesus said we would have these trials and struggles, but a lot of us feel that we could use a little help loading our car, or maybe a little help figuring out how to do a U-Haul or something to do that. And so we have a series coming up. And you probably received invitations coming in. You got probably a stack of them. Because we want you to give these out. Give them out like water. We have plenty of invites. I think we printed 5,000 invites. And so please spread them around. It's a series that we're doing for Easter. Easter is April 1st. It's not April Fool's Day. It's April 1st. And we're talking about the resurrection. But we also wanted to talk about how we can have a triumphal life in Jesus. And a sacrificial and eternal life through Jesus. And so please grab some on the way out. Today, we're actually going to talk about the quote on the back. So turn over to John chapter 10. But before I do, hey, I just wanted to introduce our newest member. We have a brother. He was baptized a while back, but he was never introduced in front of the church. So I just wanted David Barna to stand up. I don't know where he's sitting, but if David could stand up and wave. No, stand. Nobody got to see you. David Barna's there, so... Please say hello to David. He's a great guy. We're so grateful that he's here, so grateful he's with us. He's already pitching in, helping with sound equipment all over the place. So please say hello to David if you've never met him. In John 10, John chapter 9 is interesting. There was a man healed from his blindness, and people had asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? And Jesus explained, no one sinned. They were looking for blame. Jesus said, there is no blame, but this man was born blind that for this moment in time, he might be healed. And Jesus healed him. He said, for the glory of God, this man was born blind. Pharisees were upset about it. They didn't understand. And Jesus started then talking in parables. And toward the end here, and we're going to pick it up in verse 7. He says, Jesus said, very truly, he said, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Of course, the takeaway here, it's Jesus' heart. His heart is that every listener would have a full life. That everyone listening to Jesus would have that. In fact, he wanted it so badly for the people, for the listeners, that he died so that they could get a full life. Now, of course, it's not just for them alone. It's also for, praise God, for us. It's for the people listening today. Jesus' promise is for all of us. That all of us might have this full life, this life to the full. And what's interesting is, you know, English and Greek don't completely mesh all the time. And here's one of those cases. The Bible of the New Testament was originally written in Koine Common Greek. And the word there is better translated abundant, an abundant life, bring it abundantly. but it doesn't completely work for the modern English, and so they've chosen to use the word full, the translators. All other translations use the word abundant, but in the NIV and most modern translations, they'll use the word full. But we misunderstand what that word full means. When we see the word full, we think of filling up our gas tank, at least I do. Is it halfway full, or, you know, fill it up, fill it with regular? But that's not at all what this word means. The word here, abundant, means that it goes to what we would consider full, and then it starts overflowing. And it just keeps overflowing. That the word Jesus is using here is actually that the life he wants for us, his heart for us, is to have this life that just overflows and overflows. And just we have so much, we just have to give it all away. Because we have so much going on, we just want others to have what we have. That's the motivation. So it's the mirror image of stressed out life. It's the mirror image of the life of a theft, because the life of a thief. I'm getting my English confused. The life of a thief is one of need and want and desire. And Jesus is saying, no, I've come to bring you the mirror image opposite of that. A life so abundantly full, you have no need. You just feel completely satisfied, well-fed, a full being. And of course, what's beautiful is it's not just here, but it's for eternity. Heard some sad news today, and it's going to be a shock probably for some of you that know Roald Small. But When I got the phone call, it said Colin Small, and that's his brother, and Colin never calls me. And I thought, now he's calling me Sunday morning. I bet Roald died, and he did. He died at 8:15. And, you know, as a disciple, you know, we're rejoicing that Roald is in heaven. I think the thing that really got me, though, emotionally, is that he was suffering so badly. And so when I visited him, we talked about heaven a lot. And we talked about the fullness of Jesus and how Jesus gives. And he'd make comments like, I'm just so grateful for Jesus. And I'm just so grateful for heaven. And he goes, I can't wait to get there. And so now he's there. What he's wanted, his whole Christian life. He's now there with Jesus, and no pain, no tears, no mourning, no sorrow. And now he knows that it's not just full life here, but it's full life for eternity. You know, a common belief today is that Christ is the thief. That's what some in the world believe. That's why they don't want to go to, it's like they don't want to embrace Christianity. Because Jesus is just here to steal our wealth, kill our fun, and destroy our friendships. But nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, anyone that believes that about Christ believes that Jesus is a liar. I mean, Jesus is here to bring us the most abundant life possible. In fact, it's so abundant, we can't even fathom what that really means. And people would be crazy not to want that life when they see what Jesus has for them. Jesus doesn't lie. He doesn't even exaggerate. There's no bait and switch here. Jesus isn't saying, I've come to bring life and life to the full. And then he gets you into Jesus, and then it's like, now comes the hard work. Grind. There's no bait and switch. No, their promises are all in Jesus. It's not that we won't have trials. It's not that we won't have struggles. Of course we will. But we have the fullness of Jesus that overwhelms those struggles and trials. That the power of the struggles and trials is nothing compared to the fullness we have in Jesus. And thus it overflows into the streets. Everyone needs to know this. That's why sometimes you see Christians just so excited and so grateful they just have to share with everybody. And so people misunderstand that, of course, but that's just where we're at. But Jesus isn't here to force anybody. He's not here to scare people or manipulate people. He's actually here to give you a full life. Life to the full. So I say, so why at times is it so hard? Why do we have struggles that are just so difficult? Why is it sometimes I just don't feel my prayers being answered?
And I'm going to God and I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm just here struggling and struggling. Well, life does get stressful. But you know, maybe you missed that or maybe you didn't, but verse 7, did you notice what he said? I'm the gate for the who? Look at verse 7. I'm the gate for the who? Well, why do we struggle? Why is it hard? Well, we're sheep after all. Right? Aren't we being told we're sheep? And you know what? We have a lot in common with sheep. Now, you don't have to take an agricultural class or an animal husbandry class to do this. I just got it off the internet. But sheep get stressed. People know sheep get stressed. Here's stressed sheep. This is what stressed sheep look like. Now, keep the slide up here. As I describe this. Now, I did not change a thing on this, okay? These are symptoms of stressed sheep. And the reason I'm going to read this is because your homework during me reading this, your homework is to see how closely or how far away you are from this description when you are stressed. Okay, you ready? Stressed sheep. How can we tell that sheep are in stress? Number one, they make bawling noises. They bleed out their anguish and change the tenor or timbre of their voice. Well, I can't imitate that. I'm not. That was a horrible imitation. That's what I do. Number two, when sheep are stressed, they attempt to run away. Because they misunderstand that they think the stress is the group. So they run away from the group. Number three, when sheep are in stress, they just move in circles. They just keep doing the same thing over and over and over. Number four, when sheep get stressed, they jump over fences. You see, sheep are animals that like the security of the herd and the compound because they know what is outside is where the real problems are. But when sheep get stressed, what happens is they misunderstand that security that they have inside, so they end up jumping outside of the fence to find it somewhere else. And that's a sign of stressed sheep. Number whatever it is, I've lost track. Five. Stressed sheep walk around like this. They keep their head down. Now, if you know much about sheep, sheep are happy animals. They really are. I mean, sheep are just very content animals. And so they're always like looking around. They're curious, you know. That's how sheep are. So when sheep get stressed, they just look down rather than out. And it sort of keeps them stressed. Number six, right? When sheep get stressed, they get lethargic. They decrease in appetite. They actually even lose their appetite. They'll just stop eating. And the last one that sheep do when they get stressed is they isolate. They separate from the herd and just isolate. Well, I don't know about you, but when I read that list, I went, I think I have more in common with sheep than I'd like to admit. Because we see these symptoms in us when we get stressed. We see these symptoms in other people when they get stressed. But we're sheep, right? Jesus says we're sheep. Sheep who what? Sheep who need a shepherd. I guess we need shepherding. You know, as it turns out, we weren't formed by God to be independent. God did not form us out of clay to rule ourselves. We were actually formed with defects, with holes, with spots, with these huge gaping things that it's like we try to get met in the world. We try to seek power in the world or success in the world or relationships in the world or something in the world. We're trying to fill these holes and trying really hard. And some of us have so much power and resources, we're able to really go for it.
But at the end of the day, we realize that hole still is there. I still have a hole. What's going to fill this hole? See, God has made us with this hole that can only be filled with Jesus. And not just including Jesus as kind of like a cultural thing, but having Jesus himself personally fill the hole. Jesus said, I've come to have life and have it to the full. He wants to completely fill whatever is missing in our lives. And this is a beautiful thing. Aren't you glad God wants that for us rather than something else? This is awesome. He just wants our lives to be so beautiful. It's like music. It's like just playing beautiful music. I know a lot of us like music. Anybody heard of 2001 Space Odyssey, that movie? You're admitting you're old. Well, I wanted just to show you, this is a professional orchestra that did the intro to it, and I want to go ahead and play it to see if this music inspires you to have a full life. So let's go ahead and, if we can pull it up. Are you inspired? No. That this was a professional orchestra. Yes, they were. But what they did was they said, we're going to do something different today. We're going to randomly exchange our instruments with one another. And whether you know how to play that instrument you were just given or not, we're going to play this. I mean, they all knew how to play this on their own instrument. But they were given random instruments to replay it according to that instrument. And that's the result. It's hilarious, but it's sad. But you know, Jesus is saying, you can't play your instrument on your own. And when you try to do your life without me filling it, without me in the center of your life, without me filling your whole life, it's going to sound like that. Because we weren't made to play our instrument on our own. We are not talented to play our life, to put our life together, to lead our life. We were actually created as sheep with a need for a shepherd. We need shepherding. The beautiful thing is through the shepherding, we then, and I won't play it, it's just a beautiful music. It's just a beautiful orchestral music. Just like an orchestra. We need to learn, and we need to be taught to have the full life. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no, for you are with me. And he started the psalm, the 23rd psalm, by saying, the Lord is my. So what gives us, what takes away our fears, what takes away our insecurities, what takes away this stress when we're going to lose everything in our being? What can change us from this to this?
Jesus being our shepherd. Now, we got to admit, we're not happy with that all the time, are we? Aren't we like little kids sometimes? I can do it on my own. No, no, mommy, I want to do this. I want to do it my way. And you're looking at me surprised. I know you do this. We all do this with God. No, I'm going to do it. We go to God with the really big problems. But then everything else we can handle ourselves. And what God is saying is there, no, you can't. You're going to sound like that orchestra. You need Jesus for your whole life. A lot of people say, well, God helps those who help themselves. How many people here grew up believing that was in the Bible? God helps those who help themselves. My dad was so convinced it was in the Bible. Of course, I couldn't show him it wasn't in the Bible because he didn't have the patience to go through the entire Bible. But it's not. And we believe that we need to do all of what we do and then God does the rest. No, it's actually the opposite. Jesus is saying he wants to do the whole shebang. Our job is to surrender to the will of God, let Jesus fill our life to overflowing, and let him lead our life. That's why I like that expression, what would Jesus do? WWJD, what would Jesus do? That's what we do. We simply let God. And that's why we preached last week on we live the crucified life. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, Jesus wants the full life for you, but you've got to let him shepherd it. You've got to choose to let Jesus be the shepherd. The world believes that Jesus is like a thief, come only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus corrects that. He turns it upside down. He goes, no, I haven't. I've actually come to bring life and life to the full. God's heart is he longs to fill us with blessings, longs to give us everything in Christ. It's God's continual pursuit. God always has his arms out for us, his hands out for us. Come to me because I can do it so much better than you can do it on your own. But we just tend to fight. But you know, Jesus paid the ultimate price for us to respond back to him, which motivates me to want to be led. And the beauty is, the more you see Jesus at work in your life, the more you see Jesus shepherding your life and being the center of your life, the more inspired you'll be to be led by Jesus. That's how it works. I don't do a good job leading my life. My default setting is I'm just kind of a mean guy. I'm not a nice guy by nature. And so when I go on default mode, I say insensitive things. I do insensitive things. I get people angry. I get angry. It's just conflict. That's my default setting. In order for me to have a full life, I have to literally go to Jesus saying, Jesus, I don't know what to do here. Please help me. Please lead me. Please teach me. You say, but you know what you're doing. Well, let me tell you what. When I think I know what I'm doing, it fails. But when I go to Jesus and let Jesus lead me, it always succeeds. I'm just talking about me. I don't know about you. But you know what? I believe all of us are the same. When you do it on your own power, your own wisdom, doing it in your own way, how's it working out for you? But when you do it Jesus' way, he never lets us down. And as we choose Jesus' leadership, we're going to discover that the level of success in the full life just keeps growing and growing and growing. Turn over to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. I just want to finish up by talking about commitment. Because we can get fooled into believing that we have the full life in Jesus just by calling ourselves a Christian and being committed or marginally committed to Jesus. But what we discover in Luke chapter 9 is Jesus isn't looking for just any level of commitment here. He's actually looking for 100% commitment. Luke chapter 9 verse 23 says, he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple, that means whoever wants to call themselves a Christian, whoever wants to be in Jesus, whoever wants to be a disciple of Christ must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow Jesus. He sums it up by saying this, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. So if you try to just add Jesus in, let me add a little Christ, let me add a little church, let me add a little religion, you're going to lose the whole thing. It's a waste of time. But whoever loses their life, in other words, their leadership, their power, their ambitions, and makes Jesus the leader of their life, the shepherd of their life, will actually save it. In other words, find it and have the full life. He starts reasoning with people when he says, hey, well, what good is it if someone gains the whole world and loses or forfeits their very self? I mean, and what is the answer to that question? What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, all the power in the world, all the prestige in the world, if we're going to lose in the end? What good does it do? Yeah, we know the answer. So success, according to Jesus, is 100% followship. 100% following Jesus, followship. Because honestly, my default setting is to mix the two. And I think all of us are in the same place there. I think we try to mix a little of us and a little of Jesus and expect good results when we're not going to get them. So I just want to go, I have a chart here that actually this chart is a business chart. This is taught in business classes. And I thought, well, how interesting is that chart? Because honestly, even though it's taught for business classes, it really has a lot to do with Jesus and our commitment to Jesus. I mean, you know, he talks about four stages here. Won't, have to, need to, choose to. The want one is like a low level of engagement. It's like a 25% or less level of engagement. There's just little effort here, little real choices going on here. And of course, the chances of success are very low with this model because there's really not even a really clear choice. You're just being really clearly forced or actually feeling like you're being forced and just saying, no, I'm not going to do it. This most clearly describes people that don't want Christianity. It's like, I don't want Jesus. Forget about it. They're cold. They just don't want it. So then we get into the next category, have to. The have to is like the 25 to 50% engaged with Jesus. In other words, you're wanting Jesus to lead about 50% of your life, up to 50% of your life. So it happens, it kind of in and out where Jesus is leading. So it's more of a forced perspective because, well, I have to do this or else, you know, I got to be a Christian or else. But you really don't see much benefit for yourself because you're not going to see a lot of benefit for yourself. And certainly you're not going to share your faith with other people because you see no benefit for them either. The motivation here is more out of fear or out of anger. And so the results become very robotic, is that you just have this Christianity that's just this robotic form of Christianity where you're going through the motions, but there's no real benefit for you. The next is the need to stage, where it's more highly engaged. It's over 50% level of engagement, up to 75% level of engagement. Of course, these are just random numbers, but so it's mostly by choice. So it's people that really want Jesus to lead them mostly by their own choice, but the power in their life is still low. There's a perceived power there. It's felt, but again, the benefits from that are limited. And the benefits for others, because you're still not wanting to do what Jesus is asking. You're just simply needing to do what Jesus is asking you to do. It's kind of like a child with homework, where she does it because she thinks it's better than the alternative. It's like, okay, I either do my homework, I don't do my homework, and it's like, okay, well, I'll just go ahead and do it because I really need to do it, so I'll just go ahead and do it. You know, she's making it willingly, but she's still not wanting to. Now we get to the category where the full life is, where Jesus' full life is when we choose to. When we see Jesus' love for us and his goal for us and his compassion for us so clearly, we can't even imagine an alternative. It's like Jesus becomes the answer for everything. It's like, this is where I'm going to have full life. Now, it's by faith, because you may not see it, and it's hard to articulate it. Even for people that have a full life in Jesus, it's really hard to articulate it because we don't have words to describe that. But it's this overflowing completeness. It's this every hole has been filled. And even though you have the trials and the struggles and the difficulties, the power of Jesus is more powerful than the power of fear or the power of problems. And so you see solutions and you see Jesus working in your life. Wow, that's the full life. It's very powerful because actually you have complete control over your choice to choose Jesus. You're not being forced to. You don't have to. You clearly see the choice of I get to choose to make Jesus the complete center of my life. And this is where full life is. This is where you start to live out commands like the greatest command. What is the greatest command? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And you start doing that. You see the benefits. It's like, look what Jesus has done with my life. You no longer say, look what I'm doing. You say, look what Jesus is doing. And when people come up to compliment you, wow, you're so happy or you're so together. Man, things are happening for you. Wow, I just see so much going on. You're not like, yeah, I'm pretty cool. Which is my temptation. But instead you're like, when you're humbled because you're choosing Jesus and you know it's Jesus and you know it's not you, it's like, well, praise God for that because this ain't me. Whatever good you're seeing in me is not me because I'm naturally not a very nice guy. So if you're seeing good stuff, praise God, it's Jesus. You know, I've never in my 38 years of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, I have never regretted making Jesus Lord of my life. It sounds funny, doesn't it? In 38 years, are you serious? You've never even once? No. Every time I've chosen to make Jesus the center and to make Jesus the shepherd and the leader of my decisions, every single time it's been the right decision. Why is it that I forget that? Why is it that every time we make Jesus the center, it works? But we what's the word when you always forget something? There's a word for that. I can't remember the word. Dementia? Let's just use that word. We get spiritual dementia. When will we learn in our whole life, all day, every day, that when we just make Jesus, when we choose, when we choose Jesus to lead our decisions and lead our choices, and it always works, will we ever get to the point where we do it automatically? I'm not sure. Because I haven't gotten to that point. I still have to make those decisions. But you know what? That's what I want. I want to be a happy sheep. So I have another slide. These are happy sheep. I wish I had a video. I looked for a video and I couldn't find it. If you ever get to see lambs that have been first born, like within a day or two or even the first week, all they do is jump. It's like they've discovered that they can. And they just can't help it. They just jump up and down like popcorn. It's so much fun to see baby lambs. And they kick and they go like this. And even sheep that have been penned up for a while, you let them loose and they go to the pasture and they're just kicking up all kinds of stuff. They're just happy sheep. And they know that they don't know what's going on outside. They just rejoice what's going on inside. And that's how God has designed us to be, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to be happy as a result, to let Jesus be the shepherd of all our decisions, and to be happy as a result. This is the full life that Jesus has promised us. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So, what are we going to do? I think what we need to do is make a choice, not a have-to choice. Not a got-to choice. All right, okay, I'll do what Jim's asking. Please don't. but instead a, I want to choice. I really want this. I don't want that other picture of stressed out sheep. I want this. And it's not that things aren't going around these sheep. There are wolves encircling the enclosure. There are other things happening, but these sheep are oblivious to that because they're just so much, they're so invested, they're so engaged in rejoicing in the good stuff, they barely even know what's really going on. I have come that they may have life and life to the full. And when we see the beauty of Jesus' plan and the results, and we see what Jesus is doing in our life, it's just going to overflow in abundance, flow out to the streets, and sharing our faith isn't even something we're going to have to think about. It's just an automatic response to the joy of being in Jesus. Amen. Amen.